actually comes from the New Zealand prayer book, and really is a beautiful prayer. So let us pray together. Spirit of the living God, you breathe in us on all that is inadequate and fragile. You make living water spring even from our hearts themselves. And through you, the valley of fears becomes a place of wellsprings. So in an inner life, with neither beginning nor end, your continual presence invites us to let go of our faults and others, so that you can make a new freshness break through. Please take this prayer with you and keep it in your Bible or alongside your fridge. And it's just another beautiful way to pray to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit and invite the Spirit's power and presence in your life, which we celebrate this Pentecost Sunday. You'll notice different people have red on. You know the altar has red on it as well. And it's the liturgical color for today as we celebrate the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. In our gospel lesson today, and I love those long gospel lessons, especially like today, don't you? Jesus proclaims in two verses basically this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." I'd like to set the context in which Jesus is speaking. He's speaking during a very particular time in the Jewish calendar when they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles or Shelters. It's toward the end of that. And it memorializes God's holy dwelling place, the desert tabernacle, a design given by God to Moses. The feast also recalls the shelters of the Israelites that they lived in during their Exodus experience and how God protected and delivered them from their enemies. This last and greatest of the feasts in the Jewish year was also connected to the harvesting of grapes and olives. All the festivals of God were intimately bound up with the cycles of the earth, spring and summer, fall and winter, and the harvests of spring and fall in particular. On this last and greatest day of the feast, actually it's the eighth day of the feast, in our text is actually called the Shemini Atzeret, or on the eighth day. So you have the Feast of Tabernacles, and on the eighth day is when Jesus cries out before the people of Israel. And this eighth day represents a new beginning that requires rain. The harvest has already been celebrated. The grapes and olives have already been gathered in. And on the eighth day, there is already anticipation of a new beginning, a new harvest, and the need for rain. It's a type of the Spirit of God poured out in order to produce a new crop or a harvest. It's a new rainy season during which the earth is nourished by rain from the heavens. Spiritually, it represents the pouring out of new of God's Holy Spirit and the expectation of a new harvest for the kingdom of God. So you see, within these brief two verses that you and I hear today in the gospel lesson, there is a lot. And Jesus is tying in this proclamation about anyone who is thirsty or needs to drink to come to him, that he would fill them with streams of living water. He's letting them know that a new era is coming, that a new beginning is about to take place. And there's also even symbolism within the Hebrew culture in terms of that number eight. The number eight in Hebrew means to make fat or to superabound. Eight is also the first number in a new series. So again, the Feast of Tabernacles has happened over 7 days. On this eighth day, where Jesus proclaims about streams of living water, he's proclaiming an entirely new beginning. Aaron and his sons were consecrated as priests, and they required 7 days being set apart. But they were anointed on the eighth day. And that's when their office actually began. The Feast of Tabernacles celebrated over 7 days God's holy dwelling place in the desert tent and his deliverance of Israel. On the eighth day, the Feast of Shemini Atzeret, Jesus proclaims a new anointing on all believers, that none other than a new era of the Holy Spirit of God. And so you see, we see this throughout our readings today that you have within your bulletin. I invite you to take a look at the rest of the readings that we've had in our service here today. In the first reading from Joel, Joel was actually a prophet. They're not sure about when he was around, but I'm going to put an average of about 700 BC. And so Joel, by the Spirit of God, spoke these prophetic words about a very special day that was coming in the future of Israel and for the world as well. He said through the Lord that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And all of you will remember that in the Old Testament, only certain people received the Spirit of God for a particular work. It might be a king. It usually was a prophet. It might be a priest. And even then, they would only receive the Spirit for a certain period of time. It's by the Holy Spirit that Joel was inspired to speak these prophetic words that he did some 700 years before they would even be fulfilled. And so you see this word from Joel that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all of God's people is a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful promise of God that not just certain people will have the Holy Spirit, but all of God's people, all of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and be able to do miraculous and powerful things. And that is wonderful news. That is great news. Aren't you glad that just there aren't a certain few anymore that only have the Holy Spirit? I mean, believe me, people that were alive during the time of David and saw the anointing of God's Spirit upon him or upon Samuel or upon Joel or upon Isaiah, there were many people who said, boy, I wish I had the anointing like they had. I wish I had the Holy Spirit in my life like they had, even just a little bit of it. Well, guess what? You have that same Holy Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus. You have the same Holy Spirit that was upon Joel. You have that same Holy Spirit that was upon David and Samuel. The Holy Spirit can just work through you in different ways, but it is the same Holy Spirit, and that is awesome and wonderful. And flip over with me to Acts chapter 2. We see a fulfillment in our second lesson of the prophecy that Joel had spoken those 700 years earlier. When the day of Pentecost had come, what we celebrate together, they were all together in one room, and it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they began to have tongues of fire above their head. Again, the red that we're wearing, symbolizing the fire and power of the living God, which is a wonderful thing. We need to realize that God is loving and compassionate and kind and merciful. All those things are true. But look at the red. The red reminds us that God is also a God of power, that our God is a consuming fire, that our God is holy, that he is awesome, and it is to be approached with reverence. This is also very important for you and I to remember, and I think the modern church has lost that sense of holiness and reverence for God and the fire of God, but we see it here in the book of Acts. We see the Holy Spirit coming upon God's people in a mighty way and anointing them with tongues of fire, but also giving them the ability to speak in tongues, to speak in the languages of all kinds of different people there that had come together during this yearly festival of Pentecost, people from all over the world. And we just heard Dorothy, by God's grace, read all of those names. You know, you have only to listen to that lesson being read to say, my gosh, they really did get the Holy Spirit. You know, that really is a gift from God to even be able to say those names. There's a lot of practice involved there. You know, well, let's give it up for Dorothy. My gosh, you did it, girl. I'm telling you. The practice pays off. I'm telling you, practice pays off. So you see, this is what the Holy Spirit does. I can't tell you how many people have said to me or haven't said to me but gave me the nonverbals that, you know what, Father Joe, I'm really not interested in the gift of tongues. You know what, when usually when I say Holy Spirit, tongues just pops up in people's minds, you start walking the other way. I don't want to do that. I've seen some strange things happen. I mean, I want to know what's coming out of my mouth and what I'm saying, you know, that kind of stuff. But you know what, look at what happens in Acts 2. Wonderful things happen. After this explosion of the gift of tongues, which is given by God, and people hear the gospel in their own language, guess what God is doing? God is preparing their heart for Peter's message that's coming. He's preparing their hearts for a miracle that God is already moving in a miraculous way. They're astounded by what's already happened. And then when Peter stands up a few verses later and proclaims the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people come to Christ. This is a good thing. In light of all the horrible terror attacks that are coming like a torrential flood at this moment, and they just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming, we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God that keeps on coming and keeps on coming and keeps on coming through his people in this hour. You're going to need to use force. You're going to need to protect yourself. But you will never overcome the darkness with darkness. It will never happen. You only overcome darkness with light. And that is our calling in this hour, to be the light of the kingdom of God in this hour, as God is calling us to. So you see, this is a good thing. And you and I need to be open to whatever God might do through us in this hour to bring his kingdom into this moment, to be his light in the darkness in a way that is powerful, in a way that touches other people's lives, in a way that we can speak their language. You know, let me say this. Some of the teenagers I'm around this day, man, I love the teens, but it's like we don't even speak the same language anymore. I need the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Grandparents, you need the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you right now, to speak their language, to reach them, to break through. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus is proclaiming on this last and greatest day of the feast. He shouted out on the day of that feast. It happened in the lives of the disciples on the first Pentecost, and it can continue to happen in our lives as well. There are so many people in the church who falsely taught that they believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit was meant only for the apostles. But personally, based on what I've read and in church history and in my experience with other people's lives, that is blatantly false. That is not true. In fact, I don't know of an hour when we've needed the Holy Spirit more than we do in this moment. And we need the Spirit of God moving powerfully in our lives, like a fresh wind blowing through this place, anointing and touching our lives and blowing us out of this place in a way that is powerful and anointed and transforming. That's what we need in this hour. It's a new era of the Holy Spirit that began on that first Pentecost with the sound of a blowing of a violent wind from heaven. They knew something supernatural was taking place. And it says the Holy Spirit filled the house and it filled them, which I think is the most important thing. It's okay with me that the Holy Spirit was in the house. I mean, I've certainly felt the Holy Spirit in different places, but it is most important that the Holy Spirit filled them up. Do you know that the Apostle Paul said that you are a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within you as a believer? Now, you know, let's be honest, some of you kind of keep the Holy Spirit in that back room, the door's closed. He's boxed up, man. You know, you don't let him out, you know, because you know what? If you let him out, you're out of control, and that spirit can really do some crazy things, and you want to be in control. You want to have it together. You know, you might be feeling like, Father Joe, I'm an Episcopalian. I don't do the Holy Spirit. I come to church each weekend. I try to be good during the week, and I'll see you next weekend, right? Well, let me share something with you. If you're an Episcopalian or whatever your Christian faith group might be, the understanding of the scripture is that Jesus is the one who actually fills people with the Holy Spirit and gives that to them. So I would submit to you that if you truly are a Christian who is a follower of Jesus Christ, it means as well that you are to open up your life fully and completely to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And for you to be fully Episcopalian or Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever it is you might be, non-denominational, that's good too. We need to be open to the life-giving presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because you see, what happened on that first Pentecost morning is Jesus' words in the gospel lesson today were fulfilled. What did he say? Streams of living water will begin to flow from within you. Guess what happened on that first Pentecost? Streams of living water began to flow from within them. Jesus was speaking prophetically in John 7. He was telling his disciples and all of us what was about to take place. He was saying to them, streams of living water are going to begin to flow out from within you. And it began in Acts chapter 2. And those streams just kept on flowing and bringing life and healing and love and grace, light overcoming darkness, wherever these people went. Living tabernacles. No more pitching a tent. I was in the Boy Scouts. It gets old after a while, let me tell you. No more pitching a tent. But living tabernacles, tabernacles that are full of the Holy Spirit, anointed with the fire of God in the depth of their belly, proclaiming the word of God in word and deed, leading to conversions and healings, leading to lives that are being changed. Beloved, that's what God wants for your life. He wants us, first of all, to understand who we are. Do you know that wherever you go, you're a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? You are. That's who you are, whether you want to accept that or not. As a believer, you are a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. It's just the state of how much surrender to Him you have or not. What was it part of the song about yielding to Him? Yielding to the Holy Spirit? I think that was in the last song that we sang. So important. So important in this moment. So I want to encourage you. I want to ask you a question. And I want to ask myself this question as well. Where exactly in your life right now do you need to yield to the Holy Spirit? Some of you are hearing this right now about the Holy Spirit maybe for the first time. You're thinking, I am crazy. You're wondering what I smoked before I came to church today. Or whatever. You know, that guy's kind of really lit up. What's going on with him? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. What can I tell you? The Holy Spirit of power. The Holy Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit of joy and excitement. I remember when I first came to Christ, I was part of a small prayer group in a house, older group of guys and ladies, really nice. They welcomed me in. It was like a Friday night prayer group, and they were really kind to me. I was the youngest guy in the group, and we just would gather together and sing and pray, and they'd have some wonderful teaching. Really loved to be with them, down-to-earth, very committed Christians. One night as we were singing and praying together, all of a sudden, literally, I felt this wave come over me. I had never felt that before, and I just began to sing out to God with praise in a way like I never had before. I actually began to sing in tongues and just sing worship songs to God. And it was just like a mighty wave hit me out of nowhere. I wasn't even expecting it. I hadn't even asked for it. And I opened my eyes in that small little prayer group, and everybody else was smiling. Those sneaky people, those lovely sneaky people had been praying for me. They'd been praying for me that I would receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that they did. My life has never, ever been the same since then. I'm not all the way there yet, neither are you. But again, what I'm sharing with you is a life-changing experience. So I just want to ask you here in this moment, where are you right now in relationship to the Holy Spirit? Maybe there's not really a relationship there. I'm so glad you're here today. That can change for you in this moment. And we're going to pray a prayer along that way. Some of you may have had a sense of the Holy Spirit in your life, but it's kind of gone by the wayside, maybe because of sin, maybe because of neglect, maybe because of fear. You don't really want to make the next step that the Holy Spirit is leading you to make. But beloved, one of the things you and I need to do on this Pentecost Sunday is open our hearts afresh to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, to pray that His light would even penetrate more deeply into our lives and our darkness and to every cell of our bodies. Think about it. Think about what your life might look like, full of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of you are concerned, oh my gosh, what will people think of me? Let me tell you something, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you don't even care. That's the good news. You won't even care about it. You'll be smiling from ear to ear. You'll be walking in his love and his grace and his healing miracles and power in a way like never before, and it'll be beautiful. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. And you will be living life the way God has called you and me to live it.